Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. Here's what David writes in this psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for letting us be here this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the word in the Sunday school hour. Thank you for your word here. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, you'll take it and make it a blessing to every single person that's here this morning. And I pray if there's somebody that hears it this morning or somebody hears it this afternoon when they watch it online and they don't know Christ as their Savior, they'll understand they're a sinner in need of a Savior and take Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, as their own. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, keep them open there to Psalm chapter 40. Have you ever noticed, as you've read through the Bible, of how every person that came into contact with Jesus left transformed, left changed? You go through the Old Testament and read the Gospels, and you read the encounters that people had with Jesus, and at the end of every encounter, every person that came in contact with him left different. There was a change that was wrought in their life. I mean, the disciples, they were fishermen, a tax collector, common men. By their own description, uneducated and ignorant. And yet when they came into contact with Jesus, he transformed them into a band of men that turned the world upside down. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, selfish, a cheater, a thief, when he came into contact with Jesus, became upright, honest, a generous benefactor to other people. Mary Magdalene, possessed with 7 devils when she met Jesus. And yet, when she came into contact with him, she became a devout servant and traveled with Jesus as he walked the face of this earth. The maniac of Gadara, naked, untamed, a wild man, became, when he met Jesus that day among the tombs, became modest, disciplined, and a would-be disciple. He wanted to follow Jesus. The woman at the well, been married 5 times, living in sin. And when she met Jesus at Jacob's well, she became an evangelist. She went back to her town, told him, hey, I met a man that told me everything I've done. Come and see. And the town came out and the whole town got saved because of the testimony of this woman. Jesus changed every sick person that he came in contact with. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He made the withered whole, the dumb to speak. On 3 occasions, he came in contact with people that had died, physically died. And he called a little girl back to life. He stopped a funeral as they were headed to the cemetery and called a young man back to life and then stood at Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb. You couldn't come into contact with Jesus without being changed. And the same is true today. The same is true in our day and age. You cannot be around Jesus. You cannot come into contact with Jesus. You cannot meet Jesus without your life being transformed. The Bible says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Bible says when we accept him as our Savior, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We sing that song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. My sins, which were many, are all washed away. since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since he came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. And it wasn't just a New Testament happening. It wasn't just an Old Testament happening. Ever since Jesus came on the scene, he has been in the people changing business. Over and over again in the Bible, it's pictured. And we get a wonderful picture in this Psalm chapter 40 that David wrote about how Jesus changes us. This morning, I'm going to use 5 words. They all start with the letter S. And I'm going to go back to Psalm chapter 40, and I'm going to show you how Jesus changes people, how he's changed most of us here this morning already, and how he can change you if you haven't been changed by coming to him. The first S word I want to use is sin. Sin. In its simplest basic form, sin is disobedience to God. It's represented in Psalm chapter 40 by the miry clay. The miry clay. It looks harmless at first, but that miry clay grabs hold of you. It's like quicksand. It begins to pull at you, and in that miry clay representing sin, you sink lower and lower. You become more entangled. You become the slave of that miry clay of that sin. And pretty soon you have no hope of escape. Pretty soon you have no way to break its bondage. How many people do you know? Maybe you were one of them at one time. How many people do you know that said, I'm only going to take one drink? Or I'm only going to have one cigarette? Or I'm only going to buy one lottery ticket. Or I'm only going to look at one dirty picture. Or I'm only going to listen to one wicked song. Or I'm only going to tell one little lie. And so they dip their toe in the miry clay. They said, I can handle it. It won't get me. I'm stronger than sin is. I can get out of it. I can stop it at any time. And it's only a matter of time for most people. It's only a matter of time before that sin has pulled them deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. It's pulled them down, 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 just like the miry clay. If you would have told them before they started, hey, this is how you're going to end up. This is the destination that you're going to end up in. They would have been repulsed by it. And they said, oh no, not me. I don't want to end up there. And they never would have started in the first place. Let me remind you this morning. That's how sin works. It grabs a hold of you and it takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay. And it costs you more than you want to pay. As this verse points out, you end up in a horrible pit from which there is no escape. That horrible pit is hell. And once you enter into hell, there's no way of getting out. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And every sinner, every person that lives in sin, that is a sinner. And by the way, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, not one. But every person that leaves this earth as a sinner has an eternal hell to look forward to, of which there is no escape. So when David writes about the miry clay, he's writing about sin. And he says, be careful. Once you stick your finger in or once you stick your toe in, it's going to get you. And it's going to pull you down, down, down. It's going to pull you deep in that sin. And once you get in, it's very hard to get out. Now, the second S word I would mention to you this morning is the word salvation. Sin and then salvation. if sin is poison, then salvation is the antidote. If sin is sickness, then salvation is the cure. Notice what that verse says. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I want you to notice something this morning. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is not a procedure. Salvation is not a practice. Salvation is a person. He, Jesus Christ, he brought me out of that miry clay. He brought me out of that horrible pit. Salvation is the person of Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. In John chapter 1, verse 29, as John the Baptist was introducing Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So, notice, first of all, that salvation is a person, Jesus Christ. Notice, number two, salvation comes to us. What did the verse say? He brought me up. The only way that he can bring us up, listen to this, the only way that he can bring us up is to go down where we are. That's the only way he can bring us up, to get down where we are. I read a little story about a Chinaman, man from China, that was describing how he met God. He said, it was like I fell in a deep well, and I saw at the top of the well Confucius passing by, and I cried out, Confucius, please help me. And Confucius came over to the side of the well and looked down, and he said, hey, if you could get out, I could help you. I could help you. Make sure you never fall in again. If you could just get out, I could help you. And the Chinaman said, I couldn't get out of the well. Confucius couldn't help me. He said, I looked to the top of the well, and I saw Buddha passing by. And I said, Buddha, please help me. And Buddha looked over the side of the well, and he actually wept and cried for me. And he said, I could surely help you if you could get out. But you're so far down, I can't reach you. But if you could get out, I could help you. Finally, the Chinaman said, some missionaries came, and they told me about Jesus. And they said, Jesus will come down right where you are, and Jesus will help you get out of the horrible pit. And when I heard about Jesus, I cried out to him. And you know what happened? Jesus came to where I was, and he lifted me. He lifted me out of the miry sand. He lifted me out of the horrible pit. So we don't have to come to Jesus to get salvation. He comes to us. We sing the song, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Christ lifted me. Christ lifted me. When nothing else could help, Christ lifted me. So sin, the miry clay, salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, who came and lifted us from that miry clay. The third word that starts with an S is security. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. From miry clay to a rock, from sinking sand to the rock of ages, from a horrible pit to a firm foundation. Many people today, when they hear about Jesus, they refuse him. They refuse the gift of salvation. They refuse the mercy and the grace. And here's their reason for refusing him. They say, I can't live up to Christ's standard. I know when I get saved, Jesus will want me to live a certain way, and I can't live that way. I can't make it last. I can't be that good person that Jesus wants me to be. And you know what? They're absolutely right. On their own, they can't live up to the way that Jesus wants us to live. With their own strength, with their own power, with their own might, with their own intellect, there is no way that they can be what Jesus wants us to be as Christians. But praise God, we don't have to do it on our own. All we have to do is stand on the rock. All we have to do is stay on Jesus. You see, my salvation, my security, my eternity doesn't depend on me. It doesn't depend on what I am. It doesn't depend on what I can or can't do. It depends on the one that lifted me up from the miry clay. It depends on the one that took me out of the pit. It depends on the one that set my feet on the solid rock. My security depends upon Jesus Christ. We sing that song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Sin, salvation, security. The fourth S that's found in these verses is the word song. Song. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. You remember when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a little white donkey? Men and women were taking off their cloaks and putting them down. They were putting palm branches down. And they were singing the song that the Old Testament tells us that the people were going to sing when the Messiah came into town. The religious leaders and rulers got mad, and they said to Jesus, make them stop singing that song. Just tell them to be quiet. Tell them to not sing that song. And Jesus said, if I could make them stop, the rocks would sing out. They can't help but sing. The Messiah is here. That's the way it ought to be with us. When we consider what Jesus has done for us, it ought to cause a song to well up in our heart. It ought to cause a song to come across our lips. It ought to result in a song that other people can hear. I remember when Brother Ferris first joined the choir. He said, Pastor, I love to sing. He said, when I consider what Jesus has done for me, I just can't help but sing. And if you have ever heard Brother Ferris sing, you know when he sings from the heart. That's the way it ought to be for every single one of us. When we consider what Jesus has done for us and the fact that he's put a new song in our mouth, holding it in will make you of all men most miserable. Holding it in will be like the prophet, I think it was Jeremiah, who said, hey, I can't preach anymore. I got to hold it in. And then he said it became like an exploding volcano. I couldn't hold it in. It was going to explode. I had to let it out. That ought to be the truth of every Christian. When God puts a song in our heart, even though we may not be able to carry a tune, even though we don't know the difference between the A note and the Z note, I don't think there's a Z note, the A note and the E note, we still ought to sing and make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then the fifth word that comes from these three verses is the word service, where the Bible says, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What are they going to see? They're going to see a person that was trapped by sin. They're going to see a person that was sinking lower and lower into sin's hold. They're going to see a person in miry clay. They're going to see a person in a horrible pit. They're going to see a person with no hope of escape. But they're going to see that person who the Savior came to and who the Savior lifted up and out. Not for any merit that they have, not for any deed that they have done, but in an act of mercy and grace. They're going to see a Savior come to that miry clay. They're going to see a Savior come to that horrible pit and lift that sinner out of the pit and set them upon a solid rock and give them a hope for eternity with a song to sing forever. It'll never go away. And those people will say when they see it, I need that same thing. I'm in that same pit. I'm in that same clay. I need that same lift from that same Savior. I need to stand on that same rock, and I need to sing that same song. The Bible tells us that as Christians, we are the light of the world. We're like a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. The Bible says to let our light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So let me ask you this morning, where are you? Where are you? Are you in that miry clay? Are you standing on that rock? Are you in that bottomless pit crying for help? Are you standing on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, singing that new song that he's put in your heart? If you're here this morning and have never met Christ as your Savior, you can meet him. And I guarantee you, based on the authority of this word, if you meet him, he will change you. He will transform you. He will lift you up and put you on that rock and give you that song to sing. Will you let him this morning? The Bible says, for as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you're listening, either this morning or this afternoon when this is on the internet, and you've never asked Jesus to save you, you're a sinner. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The penalty for that sin is death, separation from God, for the wages of sin is death. But God loves you. Listen, God loves you, and he loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for your sin. And because Jesus paid the price for your sin, God can offer to every man the gift of life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never asked him, would you ask him to save you this morning? The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this picture of salvation that we find in the 40th Psalm. Miry clay representing sin, but a Savior who comes to us, lifts us out of that miry clay, lifts us out of the pit, puts our feet up on a rock, establishes our going, gives us a song to sing so that other people can see it. And I pray, Father, if there's one person that's here this morning or there's one person watching this as it goes on the internet that doesn't know Christ, they'll understand they're a sinner. they'll understand that they need a Savior and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Help them to bow and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Lord, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Please save me from the penalty of my sin. For it's in your name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here this morning.